in your ministry. And I ask you please to turn with me this evening to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We want tonight to look at the subject of the transformation of salvation. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we will commence reading at the verse number 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then just the words of verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They saw him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's the transformation of salvation that we want to consider by the help of God this evening. Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the messages and song that have been brought to our hearts tonight. And Lord, we do give all the glory to thee tonight for all that thou hast done. Lord, thou art worthy to be praised. And Heavenly Father, we pray especially now, and as we come to the Word of God, that you'll give that help we ask. O God, glorify thy name tonight. Lord, even as we read of this account of this man of the Gadarenes, Lord, we pray that those this evening who are held in the darkness of their sin, Lord, like this man, they may be set free. O God, we pray that tonight you'll give help in the preaching, give help in the hearing. And Lord, we pray that lives will be touched, Lord, that hearts will be affected. And Lord, that sinners this night will be saved and brought to that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do, O God, thine own work tonight, we pray. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We often wonder, what is the best advertisement for the gospel? How can we best publicize the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we as a people and as a church seek to encourage others to consider and to contemplate the gospel of Christ? We can spend money on advertising, spend money on literature. We can convene special gospel campaigns, and rightly so. But I believe the best advertisement for the gospel is a life that has been transformed by the gospel. The best advertisement for a gospel to a world that's lost in sin is a life, an individual whose heart has been changed, saved by the glorious gospel of Christ. Of course, we read of many lives that were changed by the gospel, especially in the narrative accounts of Christ's earthly ministry here in the Gospels. But here is one individual in Mark chapter 5 who perhaps stands out as being particularly unique. A man who led a totally miserable life. A man who was unhappy for years. A real individual, a real person. And always remember that when we come to the Word of God and when we come to the Gospels, we are coming to read of real people. We're reading of people who actually literally walked upon this earth. There actually, literally was a man from the Gadarenes whose name was Legion. There actually, literally was a man who was possessed with the devil. And there actually, literally was a man whose life was changed and transformed by the gospel. We're not telling tonight stories that are made up for effect and drama. We're telling tonight real life accounts. In fact, the account that we read of so many different individuals throughout the scriptures of truth, and particularly in the four gospels, they are all testimonies of real individuals. Because here was a man who experienced new life in Christ. Here was a man who was transformed by the power of the gospel, a hopeless man, a helpless man, who became a new creature in Christ. His life was turned around. His transformation was nothing but a miracle of grace. You see, when God steps into a life, and when God saves a life, that is a miracle. And we read about the many miracles that Christ did. But all the miracles point to Christ, and the greatest miracle that Christ can do tonight is changing the heart and life of a sinner. Just as we have here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We are reading tonight, looking tonight at a miracle of saving grace. Child of God tonight, you are a living, walking miracle of grace. And tonight, to those who are in this place still out of Christ, the miracle that Christ has wrought in our hearts, the change that was brought into this man's life that we will consider tonight, can be yours as well. Here was a man who was taken from desperation to salvation. Here was a man whose heart, whose life was entirely changed and transformed by the gospel. As we think of this transformation, I want you to see about this man, first of all, the bondage of sin. We read in verse number 4, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Verse number 2, we read that he was a man of an unclean spirit. Here is a man who was bound in his sin. Here is a perfect example of the bondage that sin brings. Here was a man who was dominated by sin, and here was a man whose life was destroyed by sin. And I say that tonight because in this society and in this generation in which we live, sin is glamorized. In fact, I would say sin is immortalized. Sin is something to be desired after, according to the mindset of this world. Men run after sin tonight, run after pleasure. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Why? Because we are bound by nature to sin. The moment that we were conceived in the womb of our mother, we were bound in sin, bound to sin. That's the problem of sin tonight. Sin brings bondage. The devil was this man's master. And tonight, if you're still in your sin, then the devil is your master too. Well, you say tonight, no, I'm a free agent. I do as I please, I live as I please, and I will do what I want, how I want to do it. The scriptures tell us, in fact, the Lord himself, speaking to the religious leaders of his day who challenged him about the teaching of the freedom of the gospel, He says, how say then we that we are free and that we are bound? He says, because you're bound in sin. Here was a man who was bound by sin. And of course, sin brings bondage. That's the problem of sin. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring contentment. Sin brought this man misery. Sin brought this man heartache and sorrow. Because that's the result of the bondage of sin. Oh, sin can be glamorized, all right. Sin can be painted up tonight as something to be desired. But the consequences of sin are terrible. We see the problem of this bondage, but we see as well the persistence of this bondage. Look at verse 5. He says, and always, night and day. Here was a man who was absolutely destitute, and this sin never left him. Always, night and day. He was so bound in his sin that rather than getting any better, he was getting worse. There was no escape from sin. There was no escape from the afflictions that sin brought. There was no escape from the misery that sin brought. But always, day and night. Look what he says there in verse 5. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. There's the pain of sin. This bondage left this man absolutely destitute. We see the loneliness of sin. He was in the mountains and in the tombs. Well, you might have all the crowds around you tonight. You might have all the people around you. But if you're not saved tonight, if you do not have Christ in your heart, then you are the loneliest person in this world. Because sin does not bring satisfaction. Here was a man in the mountains, in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones, he couldn't find any satisfaction. And we see the powerlessness of sin as well. He was unable to do anything to change his life. And more than that, nobody else was able to help him either. Look what it says. Verse 3, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and the chains would be plucked asunder by him. He couldn't change his situation, and neither could anybody else change his situation. That's the utter powerlessness of sin. Here was a man, and he couldn't do anything to turn his life around. And here was a man that nobody else could help either. They tried. And we commend them for trying to help this man for his own sake. But they were not able. Here was a man who was so chained to his sin. Oh, there was no liberty here. There was no freedom here. Maybe you say tonight, well, I'm not like this man. I'm not in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting myself. You have never reached that level that this man has reached. But listen tonight, if you're still in your sin, then Satan is still your master. And you're still bound tonight to him. You're still in the grip and the power of sin. And Satan desires tonight to hold you and to increase that grip upon your life. And society tonight will try to offer many remedies to make you better. Many plans and programs to try to turn your life around. But listen, no man was able to do anything for this man. And I say to you tonight, we love you in the Lord, but I am not able of myself, nor is anyone else, no matter how well-intentioned we may be. No man is able to turn your life around. The solution, as we will see, was found alone in Christ. That is the bondage of sin. Sin devastates lives. Sin destroys life. And listen, sinner, sin will damn your soul in hell. You go out into a lost eternity without Christ. And you go out to meet God still in your sin. That sin which you've been held in all of your life will ultimately, finally, totally and forever damn your soul in hell. That's the bondage of sin. Sinner, tonight all you have to look forward to at the end of this life is a lost eternity for all eternity. This man had nothing to look forward to. Such was the bondage of sin. But we see not only the bondage of sin here, but I want you to see as well the bidding of the Savior. Notice how this man's life is turned around. Look at verse 6. When he saw Jesus afar off. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you would look beyond a preacher in a pulpit. But Lord, that you would tonight look to the Lord, the Christ of glory, hanging on a cross, dying for your sin. That tonight you, by the eye of faith, would see Jesus. He saw the Savior, the only one that he needed to see. Because it was only Christ that was going to change his life and transform his life. And he ran, worshipped him. Oh, that's what you need to do tonight. You need to run to Christ. Oh, there are people tonight across our province and they're running to churches and they're running to programs. And they're running here and they're running there in order to try to make their life better. You need to run to Christ tonight. You need to get to Him. Here was a man. And in this running, and in the Savior's reaction, we see a great love. Nobody really wanted anything to do with this man. Nobody really wanted to be associated with him. He was an outcast of society. But the Lord loved him. And the Lord desired to change his life. Christ had compassion upon him. And there is a conversation recorded for us there in verses 7 through to 9. Of how the Lord came and spoke to this man. When nobody else was interested, nobody else really wanted to know, and everybody else had given up, the Lord still loved this man. This was a sinner for whom the Lord had died. This was a man, despite his desperation, still had a soul that needed to be saved. Christ had compassion upon him. There's the great love of God. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, tonight we preach a gospel, we proclaim a gospel of one who has set his love upon fallen man. And it doesn't matter tonight how you've lived or what you've done. It doesn't matter tonight whether you, like this man, have gone into the depths of sin and your mind has been so controlled by the devil and your life has been so overrun by Satan, or perhaps tonight you're an upright, respectable sinner. You're a sinner nonetheless. One for whom Christ died. Christ loved this man. Christ loves the sinner tonight. And thank God tonight there are no hopeless cases with him. If we had been around in those days, and if this madman had been walking up and down Sandown Road or walking along the Newton Norwich Road, we would have said there's no hope for him. He's been like that for many years now. And there's nothing and there's no one that can change his life. Listen, tonight, in Christ, there's always hope. And no matter how far a sinner has gone into sin, no matter the depths of sin to which they have plunged, thank God, tonight with Christ, there's still hope. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Perhaps you're thinking tonight of those, maybe in your family, maybe in your workplace, maybe in your community, and you see just how sin has wrecked their life. You see how sin has destroyed their life. You see how sin dominates their life, and the old devil would make us believe there's no hope anymore. Well, thank God tonight there's hope. There's always hope in the gospel. There was hope for this man. Christ loved him. Christ died for him. I'm sure often this man, as he walked in the mountains and in the tombs, as he cried, as he cut himself with stones, he asked himself the question, what is this life all about? And that is symptomatic of our society tonight. Bondage of sin has brought people to this point in their life. What is this life all about? They see no point in life. But thank God this man met the Savior. He met the one who loved him and died for him. There's love here, but there's, notice the language as well. Verse number 9, the Savior confronts him and he says, what is thy name? And he answers, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. What was he doing there? He was confronting this man with his sin. He was possessed with a legion of devils. We are many. He acknowledged, he owned up to his sinnership before God. And you see, until we come to that place of recognizing that before a holy God we are a sinner, you can never be saved. Today, people want to hold on to their sin and still be saved. People want to hold on to those things that bring them pleasure and bring them, as they think, satisfaction and still be saved. It's until we come to that point where we acknowledge our sin before God, until we come there, we cannot be saved. There's faith, as we've said in the past, that's the easy part. Believe. But even the devils fear and believe and tremble. But there has to be repentance. There has to be an acknowledgement of sin. And so the Lord makes this man own up to his sin. And he confesses that sin. He says, my name is Legion. He's acknowledging that he's possessed. We are many. He is acknowledging that Satan is his master. Here was a man who came face to face with the Savior and brought face to face with the greatest problem in his life. Have you ever come to that point where you have acknowledged your sin before God? Your unworthiness before a holy God? That's where you need to get to. Verse number 8, we read, he, that is the Lord, said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. There's the power of the gospel. That name before whom devils fear and fly. You see, when Christ spoke, the devils flew. And we don't have time to go into the rest of the passage, entering into the swine, going down into the sea. But the whole principle of the story is that before an almighty God, sin cannot stand. There's the power of the gospel tonight. It's not found in the eloquence of any preacher or any evangelist. The transformation that salvation brings is found in the power of the gospel and in the power of Christ. Sin and Satan is no match for him. Thank God tonight that this man's life was changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. What does that tell us tonight? Well, it tells us tonight that none but Christ can save us all. There is no power in this earth that can transform your life. There is no plan that can change your life. You see, all the other remedies, all the man-made remedies, they start from the outside. But when Christ changes a life, he starts inside, the problem of the heart. He deals with the heart. He saves the blackened heart. Christ went to the source of the problem, dealt with that problem. That's the power that you need tonight. You don't need a reformation. You need a transformation. Society can offer you all sorts of reformations to reform your life, but only Christ and the gospel brings a transformation. The bondage of sin, the bidding of the Savior, but as we close tonight, I want you to see the blessing of salvation. I want you to get something here. Salvation always brings a change. Let me say that again. When a life is transformed by the power of the gospel, it always brings a change into that life. This is not easy believism here that we're reading about. This is not just praying some prayer and going on the rest of your life as if God didn't matter. Here was a life that was changed and transformed by the gospel. How do I know it? Verse 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. Notice they saw him. The ungodly were looking on. They noticed a change. And when the ungodly sees a change, you should thank God for that. Do the ungodly that we work with, do the ungodly that we go to school with, or the ungodly that we rub shoulders with every day, do they see a change in our life? Because the gospel always brings a change. And see him that was possessed with the devil, that was his past. But here's his present, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He was resting now. Oh, before this, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, he was crying, cutting himself. But now there's peace, there's calmness, there's joy. All is changed when a Christ comes into a life. Christ never leaves a life the same way he found it. People will tell us today that you can give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and just continue on as you were. That's not the transformation of salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Here was a man who was discontent in his sin. Here was a man who never found happiness until he found the Savior. Now he's resting, he's sitting. He's clothed, he's robed now. Physically, yes, but as well spiritually, he was robed in the imputed robes of Christ's righteousness. No longer in the rags of his sin. but robed in the righteousness of Christ. He was rational in his right mind. The turmoil, pain, the agitation was gone. He had peace, perfect peace. That doesn't mean that when you come to Christ as a sinner, that it's going to be all plain sailing. Doesn't mean that if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ that you won't have struggles and you won't have sorrows. But it does mean that in the midst of every difficulty and in the midst of every trial, we can know the peace of God. Why? Because we have peace with God. Sinner, tonight you don't have peace with God. You're still at war with God. You still are an enemy to God. But praise God tonight, you can know His peace, His pardoning peace and salvation, and then His perfect peace. When they saw it, they were afraid. One final change that I leave with you. Here was a man who went, told others. That's why I say tonight that the best advertisement for the gospel is a life transformed by the gospel. Verse 19, we read, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Did you ever tell of the great things that Jesus has done for you? Here was a man who was saved and confessed with his mouth Jesus Christ. Here was a man who was not ashamed to be identified with Christ. Here was a man who was telling it around, letting it abound. Here was a man who was publishing it all across his city of what great things the Lord had done for him. What brings the change? Nothing, no one but Christ. This was not simply turning over a new leaf. This was not simply trying to live a better life. This was a total, complete transformation. This man had a new life in Christ. The day he met the Savior, his life was changed. His life was taken from a life of misery and mayhem, from a life of discontentment and dissatisfaction, from a life of despair and a life of despondency. When he met the Savior, all was changed. I pray that tonight that change that we have read about, that change that we see in this man's life, would be your experience as well. That's the change that Christ can make in your life. Therefore, tonight, will you not come to Him? Will you not give your life to Him? Will you not experience this transforming power of the gospel for yourself? As the old saying goes, it's better felt than telt. Oh, that tonight you would come. Come the way of the cross, come to Christ. That you would come confessing your sin. Because when you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then go and confess your Savior. Nothing, nothing but Christ can satisfy. Will you come to Him tonight? Leave behind your misery of sin and come and receive the Savior. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close in prayer tonight, if there is someone in this meeting, young or old, and there are matters in your heart that you want to put right, this evening, tonight, still finds you in your sin, and tonight you're still far from God, and tonight you're still held in the bondage. Well, thank God tonight, Jesus Christ still sets sinners free. Come to Him tonight. You want to speak to us, if we can help you, then do make that known, please. We invite you. We urge you tonight to come to Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this account of a life changed and a life transformed. And oh God, we pray that we might not read merely of historical figures, but Lord, we pray that we might see that change even this very night. Come, Lord, and work in hearts, work in lives. Take sinners out of the bondage of their sin. Bring them to Thyself, O God, we pray. Do Thine own work tonight. And save the lost. In the Savior's name we pray.